I was in a house, probably like your house. We've got babies again with little Christian, little Noah. Noah's just a little over a year, and kind of have this thing, whoever finds a dirty diaper gets to clean it. So you try not to find him, but when sometimes you do find him. So I was changing his diaper this morning. It was pretty funny. And, you know, I don't know if there's any kids that, you know, like all that, but he was squirming. And so I was just helping. You know, I had his two little ankles in my hand here and doing the work. And I look at him and I said, Noah, you know, the whole journey of life is submission. And however long it takes you to learn to yield, that's what life's about. You could just learn now and it'll be a lot easier. But it doesn't matter. You'll learn. Everyone learns. I don't think he heard a word of it, but I enjoyed the thought because it really is truth. I mean, even when you heard Rob talk about laying down his dreams so that God could then reinvigorate him, it does two things. It removes the pressure of your life being formulated from the place you happen to be within the middle of, and it allows you to have a life that's completely formulated by the place you are in Christ. So you have an unlimited life you can enjoy while you're in a very limited place in life. And the more we discover that, then we find that actually the limited place we're in isn't really the place that we are limited by. And we can begin to do things that we never knew we could do. That's what the book of Ephesians enlarges. And I don't know if you, I hope you're enjoying, I didn't plan to start this book, and I don't know how long I will do it, but we took Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14, and we looked at what were 12 verses that are so explosive in the totality of what we've been born into. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, you know me, I don't read these words as a book. I read them as a script that I enter into. I don't read them as, oh, that'll be great when that happens. We'll see when that happens. I just start entering into it right now. I'm going, man, we just entered into Isaiah 35 at the last session, pretty huge. And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to get so good next week. When we do our 4 o'clock sessions, we're just going to do all of that, all for 2 hours. Just go, okay, how far into this beautiful thing God has performed for us in Christ can we touch? So all the spiritual, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, the Father, in love. You were chosen to be before him in love. Every time I go to before the Father and I'm walking in that place, I make a point of becoming aware that I am before him in love. I may be in whatever, I may come out of whatever, but I'm before him right now in love. It doesn't change on a good day and doesn't go away on a bad day. It's just love. And then talks about that this is beyond into a, it's predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, and it continues on to talk about redemption by his blood and through forgiveness of sins. Goes on to say that this grace, this glory of grace, this good intention, this wonderful will. I mean, I'm just stuck on the good pleasure of his will. I've been getting wrecked by this idea of that that according to the riches of his grace that he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and so that we could see what he's doing, which is summing up all things into one in Christ, heaven and earth. And that not only that, but then there's an inheritance that he, the Father himself, has given each one of us, which is just in accordance with the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. I mean, we're talking about, God is not going, what do I do with Marilyn? What do I do with, I mean, this was a dream of heaven before Marilyn was even born, already set in motion. We're just now is being summed up in Christ. And Christ just gets bigger and bigger, and God just gets greater and greater, and the grace gets larger and larger. Grace expands at the rate of sin by expanding beyond sin. So grace is greater on the planet today than it was at the first, 10, 2,000 years ago, because there's more people messing up. It's the propitiation of Christ was for sin at the present, past, and future. It is expansive. You can't get outside. And last week we got into that idea of how Father looks at us when he purchased us. So we have an inheritance. And then now in verse 15, we jump into this. Paul is like Paul going, "Oh, I've just given you how many, God knows how many years he'd been journeying into Christ to understand these things." And he just laid it out. And so then he goes, "Ever since I heard about your faith and your love for the saints, I don't ever stop praying for you." And then he just basically prays that they would be given the ability to see. He says, "I want to pray that you give eyes of your understanding to be enlightened." The word understanding is a beautiful word, and you can take your concordance and look it up, but I did it for you during worship. And it says, it means, it's dianoia, and it means the deep thought. The deep thought, properly, the faculty, the mind, or its disposition, by implication, its exercise. It says that he scattered the imaginations of the proud. So much of humanity is built from the soul and from its own center. But when we yield to God, we step inside of Christ and into such a larger thing than we could ever be centered in ourselves. And yet we're supposed to allow that largeness of thought or understanding to be impacted. He said that we could, the eyes of our understanding could be enlightened. And that's where rays of light begin to break in. And we go, "Oh, I can't believe that." Whoa. And it's an imprinting. It's more than intellectual knowledge. It's emotional knowledge. It's a visual knowledge. It's spatial knowledge. It's time knowledge. It's the sustenance. It's this differentiation of eternity to temporary. It's from truth to reality. It's just constantly deep calling to deep and expansive. And every time you experience, you can go back and begin. So I just have been enjoying Ephesians chapter 1 to worship. And there's a part in here, this isn't my point tonight, but there's a part in here where he just talks about what we just read, about what is the hope of his calling and which is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. But then he talks about that we could know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, which he wrought or which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Let me read that verse. Verse 19. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Every one of those words is a different Greek word. It is like this massive expansiveness. I'll share them with you. Would you like me to? Yeah. I mean, they were just, I can't. And when I do them, then we're going to experience them, okay? Then we're going to open our understanding, ask the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened so we could know these things. So he says, he goes on and he says, and what is the exceeding? That means to throw beyond the usual mark. So if it made it to, now it's beyond. So what is beyond? Greatness is the word megathos, and it means magnitude. What is the beyond magnitude of his power, which is the one word we're all familiar with, dunamis? What is the beyond magnitude of his dunamis, his dynamite? And then it says, which he, according toward us who believe. So this is all directed toward us, because we believe in the in the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, because we believe. This is all directed toward us, this beyond magnitude of power. And it says, according, now this is the means in which it comes to us, the down, the way in which it's distributed, according to the working, now this one is energesia, efficiency, energy, operation, strong, working. So the energy, the efficiency of God, and of his mighty ischus, a derivative of force, forcefulness. So the efficiency of his forcefulness, the extractability that he can do what he does with his power. He can save a person and leave everything else in place. He can rot Christ from the bowels of hell. And then it says, power, mighty power, the efficiency of this forcefulness of kratos, which is a word of vigor. It's used of Satan when he came to destroy him who had power of death. It's the ability to, it's according to his ability. The Holy Spirit is bringing us to this beyond magnitude of power that has come from within God's efficiency and forcefulness and ability to exercise. And this all was wrought in Christ, right? So this all was worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And then it says, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. So he didn't just raise him from the dead and say, okay, well, that's enough for today. Tomorrow we'll get you to heaven. Right? Isn't that the morning? Woman, Mary, quit hanging on to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. I'm not ascended to my God and your God. Then, yeah, he journeyed for 40 days with his disciples on and off, in and out. But then he ascended once until he returns after 40 days. But it was with resurrection, just all the way up and far above principalities and powers. And these are all wonderful words to look up, but we won't tonight. And might and dominion and every name that is named, which is also in, to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of all, fills all in all. So right away, you know, we're up here inside of Christ and everything is under our feet and will be made to be under our feet eventually. And when it all has been brought into restoration under his feet, then everything shifts into a whole nother realm in 1 Corinthians 15. But I want you to, let's close your eyes and just let us ask God to open the eyes of our understanding. They're not the natural eyes, although they almost kind of work the same. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, that you'd give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, and that the eyes of our understanding could be enlightened. And in particular, would you begin inside of each of us to reveal deep the way beyond magnitude of your power that has been directed to us because we believe. And it comes through the efficiency and the forcefulness of your rule and dominion and reign and control of all life and increase. And that it was wrought in Christ, therefore wrought in us in Christ. It was wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and brought him fully up into the place of seating right at the right hand of you, Father, where we are. We just worship you. Let this come inside of us, Dad. Let your deep understanding, let your deep thought take hold of this best you can. We give you. That's how, yes, higher, 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 stronger, bigger, above every principality, above every power, above every dominion, above every rule, above every reign, above every authority, above every name. We desire to know this. cool. His power is directed toward us because we believe in the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, because we've heard the good word of Jesus Christ. It's already, it's not going to come, it's come. The Holy Spirit administers it. A lot of times I've lost the sense of it, of the beholding of it, the receiving of it. Imagine what it would have been like for Holy Spirit to go down to the bowels of hell where Satan thought he had captured God and divided him into peace and conquered and was taking over and dream was finally going to be realized. And he breathes life into this dead man and he becomes a new man, a new living creation, never before seen in eternity, born again. And in that place of that resurrection life, he comes, strips from hell its authority, makes a public display of principalities and powers, gathers the keys of Hades and death, preaches the gospel into the prisoners, begins to ascend, leading captivity captive. Not does he pause to make sure Mary sees him, and then he continues onward and upward into the very throne room of the Father, into the right hand of God, and he begins to set down with the authority that all things have now come under his authority, and all this power that was exercised in doing this wonderful act is now toward us because we believe. Shabbat de Baba. Come on, Dad. You are so big, Jesus. This is who you are. I don't care what my life looks like. This is who you are. We're not here looking at each other. We're here looking at Jesus. Glorious, victorious, triumphant, overcoming Jesus. You who conquered death. You who trampled under feet. You destroyed him. You made him of uselessness. Who had power of death. Oh, Papa, she. You were alive and then behold, you were dead. But now behold, you are alive forevermore. You have the keys of Hades and death. You are glorious, victorious, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. Mighty God. You were, you are. You are forever. Shabore baba baba baba. We praise you. This power wrought in Christ, made to us, raised us up, raised us up. Shibore baba baba. Okay. Pause. Let's go on. Stay there though. Don't disengage. That's where we are. Because you have to go each of these places for the next part of the chapter to make sense. Otherwise, the next part of the chapter is just like, well, yeah. One of these days, great. It's meant to be experienced. And he made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That's where we were called up out of. That's where we were pulled from. That's the lot. That's our company. That's our crowd. That's our gang. And now, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. We were created in love, and love never has been disengaged towards you. Because of that great love, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. So when Christ came up and ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father, then all humanity had been justified. And all humanity could become alive if they but believe, if they but receive, if they but accept, if they but hear the good news of this glorious one work. And with that grace that we've been saved, the glorious grace, this riches of this grace, this grace that has given us sonship and has given us oneness and has given us inheritance and has given us this salvation, rich and free, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. So if we really are going to fellowship with Jesus, it's not on the shores of Galilee, it's in the heavenly places. If you're going to imagine walking with Jesus, it's as he is the high priest seated on the right hand of God. It's as a completed supremacy of Christ. He's it. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the whole deal. He's the whole deal. And now we're with him and we're seated with him in heavenly places. And why did God bring us up in such an elevated place? Was so that in the ages to come, in the eons of time, in the dispensations of new millennials and whatever the time will unfold as, he could show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now, there we are again, throwing far beyond the wealth of his grace by his kindness, in his kindness, in his usefulness, in his helpfulness. That's why when Carolyn did the Bible study with the ladies in Ephesians and came with the definition, what is grace? It's the active work of God. It's the active power of God. He's useful. He's helpful. When we shout grace to our day, it's not so that we can get through it. It's so that it isn't carried by our ability, our righteousness, our anything. It's carried by salvation of Jesus. It's just, and that's so much more. So here we are. I'm going to be a trophy of grace. We are one in Christ. And summed up, we will become the object that will display to all time ahead the riches, exceeding wealth of his grace in his kindness toward us, the way he touches us. That's why when we go backwards and we're trying to make ourselves approved by something or we feel ourselves disapproved because of something, we move out of this love relationship and we go into a servant mind, and then we're trying to find our place and make sacrifice, and we're trying to rebuild what was already destroyed. And so now all of a sudden Jesus just, this is you. When you start prayer, this is where you land. You walk through the valley, you walk through the boldness of the blood, and you go through the veil of the Son. This is where you are. Boom. And this is the position you're seated with him. For by grace you've been saved, and that's through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Even my ability to believe is a gift. Even my ability to believe, the ability of faith that's alive in me today, that's taken off, explosive faith. It's this, it's Rex, I'm just, dangerous faith, but it's a gift, and the gift came in Christ from the foundation of the world, and it's been growing up through all of the journey, and all of the journey mattered to get to a new place of just this faith, and it's a gift, and not of works. I can't boast about it. There's no sacrifice I did, no obedience I did, nothing I did. I failed. All I did is come to acknowledge I am a failure, and I cannot save myself. And I cannot live righteously. I cannot accomplish anything. And I need to be saved every single moment of my eternity. I need to have a continual flood of salvation coming to me through Jesus Christ. And the only joy, the joyful part is I can drink. And I drink of the well of salvation. And all of a sudden it springs up and it comes and it bubbles up into an artesian well and starts picking me up. And I go up into the heavens. And there my daddy welcomes me with a smile. And the grace abounds and the joy is filled. And I'm just going, oh, there's nothing to be fixed. Whatever I got to walk through the day, I walk through the day. The day is the day, but that's not me. Me is Jesus. Jesus is me. To live is Christ. To die is gain. I'm new creation in Christ. Old man, no longer. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's Christ who lives in me. It's just I'm enjoying the union here when I used to be miserable down here. Because of what seemed to be such a conflict with truth and circumstance. And he said, if you try to have faith so that Christ benefits you solely on this earth, we are to be pitied above everybody. We're like working the system totally wrong. It doesn't work. And that's where a lot of us, we come into grief and sorrow, and I did all this, I made all these sacrifices. Who cares? Who cares what you did? Who cares what sacrifice you made? Papa loves everything you've done, and he records every moment of it. He's got every tear in a bottle. He'll wipe it away personally. Everything you've given away, left, lost, or forgiven has been is within the hundredfold blessing of heaven. It's all there. But if it's attached to something of merit and work and earning, it's just an elder brother mindset. And it makes you mad and bitter. And if you're mad and bitter, that's why you are. Not because you had a bad life. Everybody has a bad life. Do you understand? Everybody has a bad life. Everybody is coupled with something that destroys them. It's your iniquity, mate. It's that which you cannot conquer that will conquer you. It's your diaper change. Do you understand? It's that thing you don't want to let and will not let anybody do. And when you yield to Christ in it, not surrender to the circumstance and go into passivity, that's just giving up. That's defeat in its own sense. It's surrendering to Christ. Here I am, Christ. And I'm going to worship you right now. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to sing. I'm going to find you. And then you discover there's a door, and let's go climbing in. And you begin to discover this God. You go, wow, I'm limited. Why was I in a struggle in the first place? Why am I fighting? Why should I be? You know, the issue is never the issue. The issue is always control. You can take that to describe any situation you're in. I promise you, if you want to define it down to the lowest denominator, that's the issue. It's control. Little Noah loves to run out in the backyard. There's a water dish for the dog, and there's a food dish. He loves to take the water dish as quick as he can get there because he knows we don't want him there, and he tips it over, hopefully on himself. Once he's done that, we've caught up with him. He's happy as anything, and he knows what we're going to do. We're going to put the water dish on the table. Poor Lizzie, she doesn't get to drink water but two times a day. And then he will go, and he'll get the dog dish, and he'll hand it to us because he knows we're going to put that up too. And I said to you, Christian, we do that because you can't control yourself. So we're going to, this is your limiter until you learn to yield to the fact that we said, don't touch the dog bowl. So you're stuck. And that's really what life is. It's just surrender. It's control to surrender. We start with controlling and we end in surrendering. And the yielding surrender is the best thing you'll ever discover. When you, every level of yielding, you're just going to go, I wish I would have yielded sooner. I wish I would have let go sooner. Why was I such a stubborn head? Why am I fighting so much? Who gives a rip? And instead of somebody trying to control you, you say, you can't control me anymore because I'm going to submit to you. It's just radical upside down revelatory change. It's Jesus saying, you can't hurt me. Curse me. I'll bless you. Hurt me, I'll be kind to you. Hate me, I'll love you. Now there's a lot of people you love with good boundaries in front of you, but your heart releases love and forgiveness and kindness because you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. I'll be the same person. And you just live in the gratitude of what Jesus did and you just go, whoa. And then it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. This is a new creation. This was not a people that got saved and got a second chance. This is a people by salvation. You are absolutely a non-before known man, best known as the second Adam, the image of the life-giving spirit. You've stepped out of the first Adam, which is the living soul. Once you step out of the living soul, your identity is in the life-giving spirit, Christ. But we got to make a decision to let the living soul die. The Sosuke issue. We cannot make the life-giving Christ make our living soul feel better. We yield our living soul and say, well, I don't know. I can't sort all that out. That doesn't make a lot of sense. That hurts a lot. I'm going into the liberty of God. I told Cammie the other day, it's a journey of having the old Adam come off as we emerge in the new Adam. It's learning to kiss coals of fire and embrace consuming fire. And learning that it's actually a really beautiful place. Consuming fire. I mean, who would go and say, let me give you a big hug, Daddy, knowing he's consuming fire. But he is consuming fire. But then after a while, consuming fire is better than the temporal whatever. And it becomes real. So now he just talks about this workmanship and this proprietorship that he himself purchased, to which we're going to operate in according to walk in the midst of them. a life of journey. You were not just saved, you were called with a purpose. You have an inheritance. You're unique. Nobody else will ever do what we've been given to do. No one else will ever be an aspect of the manifold wisdom of God like you are. And your very journey is the canopy or the backdrop or the canvas to which the glory of God's going to be revealed. Nothing has been wasted. Nothing is lost. There's not a decision you made that you regret that God has not already was 100 decisions, 1,000,000 decisions ahead of the one you made. And inside of that, he predestined, he opened enough boundaries that he said, I'm going to give you enough boundaries to make a lot of mistakes, but none of them are to be so bad that they disqualify you from what I intended when I started the journey. Nothing. You cannot. Because what you did externally that you regret so much came from something that was dominating you internally that God wanted to be released from you. And so he just allows a process to happen. And it's a good process. It delights the Father. That car he bought, and the carburetor breaks down, and he rebuilds it. And then it breaks down again, and he rebuilds it. And then it breaks down again, and he rebuilds it. Then it breaks down again, and he rebuilds it. And he just delights in rebuilding carburetors. He'll rebuild your carburetor forever. It's not this is the 17th time I do. You do it again, you're on your own. He has no need to do that. We do that to ourselves. I can't go and ask God again. I've already done that too many times. And then we live in that separation until we get too miserable, too desperate, and we cry out, God, help me. And then he helps us, and we go, why did I wait so long? So it was because I had pride, because I was arrogant, because I thought I should have done a better job. To think you could do what you said you were going to do is a form of pride, because you're assuming that you're like Peter. Hey, everybody else denies you, but not me. Not me. I'm one person who isn't. Now, the more I do that, the more I will do it, because I've chosen law to make me get there instead of grace to bring me. So watch this. This is so cool. Shababa, 10 minutes to get us into the body. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time, this is before Christ, before faith, at that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. You have no hope without God in the world. But now, Christ Jesus, who once was afar off, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. So here, if this is Jesus, Israel, the Jewish followers growing up, going forward, hearing covenants, promise, they're about here. And us Gentiles, we are like, China. We're so far off. We're so far. We worship stones. We're just dumb. But now, through the blood of Jesus, he brought us all together. And watch this. It just gets so good. It says, he brought us near by the blood of Jesus, for he himself is our peace, and he broke and made both one. So the ones that were the closest had the clearest clarity. Salvation is of the Jews. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, you worship what you don't know. We know what we worship. Now we're brought together, and the wall that separated us has been torn down. It says, he's our peace, and he made us one, and he broke down the middle wall of separation. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. He literally said, okay, all that defines this people and all of the law that they had adhered to that was impossible for you, impossible for them, we're just going to remove it as a condition to knowing God. It's going to be abolished. Abolished, means made useless. It is no longer the means of knowing God. We'll not teach each other to know the Lord, for we'll all know the Lord. For he'll put his laws in our mind, write them in our heart. He'll be merciful to our unrighteousness. Our sin and lawless deeds he'll remember no more. So he knows us in forgiveness, and it's a sustained forgiveness. I'm forgiven for what I didn't do, besides what I did do. I'm just forgiven. And I get up in the morning, you're forgiven. Yeah, but you don't even know what I did. I don't need to know. You're already forgiven. Do you understand? I mean, the force of forgiveness is something I don't think any of us have drank enough of. And we certainly don't give it away freely. We give away forgiveness like it's the last dollar you have. It's a fountain, man. Pour it on everybody. Forgive everybody. Forgive everything. Forgive everybody. The more you forgive, the more it goes, the more you have it. But now listen, having abolished in his flesh the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So he took the Jew who was near and the Gentile far off, and through this removing of the commandments through his flesh, through his death, burial, resurrection, he now brought us into one new man in himself. He created in himself one new man. Why? So that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and those who were near. For through him, through Jesus, we have both have access by one Spirit to the Father. This is the only way to the Father. Jesus said that to all Jews. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He did not say that to Gentiles. There was not a Gentile in the group, to my knowledge. All his apostles were Jews. This is radical. And it's inclusive. He put us all in one place and created within himself one new man. And then he brought this one new man reconciled through him to the Father by the cross. So that now, through him, by one Spirit, we have access to one Father. That's why there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We get to keep our humanity. We get to keep our tribe, tongue, people, and nation. We can recognize where we came from the natural. But we're not known by that in heaven. We're known as the redeemed. Here come the redeemed of the Lord. The ransomed. The redeemed. The ransomed. And if there's any qualifier that's distinctive of the redeemed, we get to be known as the overcomers. Do you understand? I mean, and all of this isn't so I'm trying to catch up with the Jews or trying to diss the Jews from their place that they have. Their place is unique and my place is unique. God loves all humanity. The thing is, it's all about Jesus. It's just all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. None of this would be possible without Jesus. God looked upon, it says Romans, later Paul says, I believe in Romans, he said, if righteousness could have come by the law, then there would have been life through the law. It just was not an impossible equation. There's no equation that law could ever produce life. Therefore, it only brings curse. Therefore, Jesus took upon himself and became the curse, became the sin, became the wrath, became the unrighteousness. And now, in Christ, we can have a relationship that's apart from sin, apart from the law. And look where it takes us. And here we end. Oh. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're all one. We're not far away. We're members of the household of God. We've been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, compacted, pressed in, and it's growing. Peter calls us living stones. You have the capacity as a stone in the foundation or in the house of God being built up, the new Jerusalem. You have a capacity to grow and create more space for God. That's what trials do sometimes. That's what revelation does sometimes. That's what the journey does sometimes. It just keeps creating more capacity for God. More God. Whoa, whoa. And why? Because we're growing up into a holy temple in the Lord. In Jesus. The entire New Jerusalem will be sanctified in Jesus Christ. It will all be Jesus in the Lord, in the Lord. It's the supremacy of Christ is taking the place of all extra biblical works to secure the future of the church. Church's future is glorious. First off, don't worry about the church. Just start with you. Your future is glorious. Say it. My future is glorious. I am a living stone. I'm a place for God to dwell. I'm being grown up into Him who is the head. Whether He uses typology of a building, of a body, of a tree, of a vine, it's all about enlarging growth into Him who is the head. And whenever we're dealing with a problem in the body of the Lord Jesus in any of the epistles, it's about the disconnect from the body to the head. And as soon as you disconnect from the head, you lose a lot of things. Naturally, it would work, right? You cannot function. You have no, the head controls everything. It tells your body to pee. It tells your body to adjust the chemicals. It tells your body to have your heart pump. It tells everything. And that's all we need to do is just keep coming into the head. But here's the last part. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In whom, in Christ, we are also being built together for Daddy's home, for Papa and Jesus. John 14, this is how He dwells in us. He starts dwelling, we're being built. See, that's why, this starts touching you, you're going to be just wrecked, you're going to be dangerous, because you have nothing to, everything's been accomplished, the highest goal of man is to enjoy God. That's to which we were created, to enjoy God and to be enjoyed by God. You start enjoying God and God starts enjoying you. You may do nothing. You may be menial job. You may have people look at you. You drive a dumb car and you're stupid in the way you act. You're always so tender and kind and everybody walks all over you. Ha! But in heaven, you walk around and here they come. Here come the brilliant ones, the redeemed. Heaven would know if you weren't there. Earth might not notice if you're not here. Who do you want to be noticed by? Heaven. And you can be. You are. Because you're in Christ. The angels just go, tell me again how they did that. How did they get in? That is so huge. I can't believe that. And that, I believe, is the emerging, revealing, appearing of Jesus in the midst of His body, us discovering again what He already did. But not so that we can do better earth, but so that He can do us more complete in Himself. And then watch what happens when it no longer matters. Watch what happens when it no longer matters. Watch what happens when He matters all. You can be nice to mean people, because it doesn't matter. You're not protecting anything. He's protecting everything. It's like you're not holding onto the wheel because He's got the wheel. You're not trying to protect something because He is the greatest protector. You're not trying to prove something because there anything that's important, He'll make it known. You don't have to do anything except worship and engage and enter in and allow Him to make the whole thing. Is He wants some place to live, and He chose us to be His house to live in. And if I get up in the morning and go, Dad, help me yield to Your coming again. Jesus, help me yield to the knocking on my heart. Oh, let me open up to Your coming. Just help me yield to Your coming. My day will be fashioned in such a way, circumstantially, will couple with revelation experience, and all of it is good. And I just go, wow. Lord, receive my worship, receive my praise. Be alive in me. And the satisfaction of a smile, an awareness of the smile, which is already towards you, but you're not aware of it because you're working so hard for Him, is lifts you like the gazillions of miles above the circumstance you might be in. And I want to just release that blessing because we're past time. Jesus, the glorified Christ, the resurrected Lord, the ascended Master, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the firstborn among many brethren, the last Adam, the life-giving Spirit, our Redeemer, our Healer, our soon-coming King, our Baptizer in the Spirit, a power that was wrought to raise you, flowing toward us. The kindness shown us when you distributed salvation when we weren't even looking for it, and you raised us up together. And then you caused faith to come to us, and we were saved. And now we who far off are near. You're our peace in every wall of petition and division set between us in any place and anyone. You're the peace. You're the answer. Your blood. Your blood. You took all of the handwritten ordinances against us that we could never comply, and you nailed them to the cross. You abolished them in your flesh, and you made us into one new man. You feel that? One new man. That you could reconcile all of us in you to God. I'm reconciled to God. Say that. I'm reconciled to God. I'm reconciled to God. And there I am, being built up upon the holy foundation, Jesus the cornerstone. I'm no longer a stranger. I'm not a foreigner. I am a citizen. I am a fellow citizen of heaven. I am a living stone. I'm a habitation for God. I'm being built into a temple. We're growing up together. We're becoming into one, all things of Christ are becoming one. We're being pulled in and pulled up, pulled in and pulled up. And we're yielding because it's easier to yield than it is to fight. Come on. Lift us up, Dad. Pull us up, pull us up, pull us up into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pull us up into the resurrection of Jesus Christ, yet to be seen, yet to be attained. We don't say we've attained it. Paul didn't say he attained it. We just press upward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paputipa. I worship you. I worship you. Just worship him for one moment. Thank Jesus for any part of tonight that may quickened and came alive. Just thank him for it. Thank him for it that it's true and you believe. It's the gospel of your salvation. It's in the scripture, but Spirit of God made it clear to you, and you heard it's truth, and you believe and say, thank you, it's my salvation. It's my gospel of my salvation. It's my, and let the Holy Spirit come and seal you in a new measure. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Daddy, watch over each of us as we go home. Be with us as we sleep. Journey with us in our day. Draw us into the fellowship of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Bring us into the union, the oneness, the expansion, the experience of Jesus tomorrow. Open our eyes to behold the things you've said and what you're saying. Cause every word that comes out of your mouth to no longer be just letters, but life and spirit. Let us enter into every sound and nuance of the sound. Let us experience you as we drive, as we work, as we play, as we struggle, as we rest. Just more of you, more. Come, come Holy Spirit. Come Lord Jesus. Come glorious one. We honor you. All men shall bow. We will bow at the Jew, Jesus, and we will worship you with joy of our heart. And we'll thank God forever that we know have fully surrendered everything. Take it. It's yours. We are yours. Watch over every warring battle that's over any of your sons and daughters, and let it not displace them from you. Let them enter further into you and enjoy you even more fully. Let the sound of rest, like the sleeping on the pillow in the back of a ship, the terrorized, the hellish strategies to displace. Rest, peace, joy, hope, healing, deliverance, breakthrough, victory, All of the things that come from you, let them begin to find their way to us in the midst of where we are at, until it breaks forth like the waters in the wilderness and the springs in the desert, until it begins to blossom and rejoice. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Good time. Bless you. Have a great night. I'm sorry.